Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. And you can join me as we read this together. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of it to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your wisdom that is displayed in your word. And God, today we ask you to teach us. Lord, would you remove barriers maybe that we have had in our hearts for some of the things that we're going to look at today, God. Lord, I ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon me so that I'd be able to preach your word in the power and might of your Spirit. And God, we ask that you would open up our hearts to receive from you today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, do you know what today's celebration is on the church calendar? Does anybody know? Do you know what it is? Pentecost. It's Pentecost. It's Pentecost. Pentecost is one of the most overlooked and misunderstood dates on the church calendar. You know, part of it is what Christmas. We all know what Christmas is about, right? The living God comes and is made flesh. The Virgin bears a son. Christmas. Easter, we know what Easter's about, right? Jesus dies on the cross for our sins on Good Friday. And 3 days later, he raises from the dead. Easter Sunday, yeah. Pentecost. What's Pentecost? Most of us would say this, Pentecost is that charismatic holiday that everybody celebrates. Speaking in tongues. Yeah, okay. By the way, just so you know, La Crescent Free believes that all the gifts are still for today, including speaking in tongues. And I pray in tongues all the time, just so you know where we're coming from. But what happens is this. We don't know what it's about, or we take it out of context, and we focus on this speaking in tongues thing in some churches, that that's what Pentecost Sunday is about. That's not what it's about. Pentecost Sunday is this beautiful picture, the celebration in the church of the coming of the Holy Spirit to indwell all believers. It's the birth of the New Testament church. That's what we're celebrating today. We're celebrating this beautiful fact that the living God came on this day to indwell all believers, that he lives in us. And he came to live in us so that he could also live through us. That's what we're celebrating today. On Pentecost Sunday. It's not just about these other things. So what about Pentecost? What does Pentecost mean? Penti means 50. It's Pentecost. So 50. And it is celebrated 50 days after Passover. Remember Passover? Story of where they remembered and celebrated how on the 10th plague, the angel of death passed over the houses with the blood of the lamb on them. So this is 50 days after Passover is Pentecost Sunday. It's also known as the Feast of Weeks. 7 weeks, 7 times 7, 49, Feast of Weeks. 50 days after Passover. This is, Pentecost was the second of three harvest festivals. That's why I'm coming back to it today, because a couple of weeks ago, a couple months ago, I was teaching on the different feasts that the Jews celebrate and how Christ came and fulfilled all of those feasts. And so I wanted to continue on Pentecost Sunday with the second of the three harvest festivals. The first one was First Fruits. Remember that? First Fruits was 3 days after Passover. It was the day that Jesus rose from the dead. He rose from the dead on the day that they were celebrating first fruits. That's why when we read in the New Testament, we see so many times that Paul in particular is talking about Jesus being the first fruits of many. Okay, so his resurrection was that, okay, this is the promise that we have. And so that was that first harvest festival. And what they did was they had different festivals that they celebrated as they harvested different crops. And this is the second one, the Feast of Pentecost. And what happened was that Jews from all over the world were commanded. Again, we stand in awe of God. Because what he did was he said, okay, we're going to celebrate this thing called Pentecost. And so what I want you to do is every year you're going to gather together. All the Jews come together, go to Jerusalem, and we're going to celebrate Pentecost. So all the Jews from all over the known world were gathering together in this city, Jerusalem, to celebrate for one day. It was just a one-day celebration. They were going to celebrate that God was faithful, that he had fulfilled his promises to provide for his people. The crops, that God took care of us. God provided everything we needed. And what we see here is this is the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus. It's about a month after his crucifixion, a little bit longer. And what happens is that they came to celebrate God's provision. And what was going to happen here was God's greatest provision of all times were going to happen on this day that all the Jews in the world were gathering together, or not all the Jews, but a vast majority of them gathering together to celebrate this. God was going to provide for his people his greatest provision, a promise that Jesus made at the time that Jesus was on the earth. Take a look, here it is. In John chapter 14, starting in verse 16, this is Jesus making this promise. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Forever. We don't lose the Holy Spirit. When you become a believer, it's not like he drifts in and out of your life. He's with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you. Look at this. And will be in you. That's the promise Jesus made. He's going to come. Someone coming. And then we find in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, if you knew it was Pentecost Sunday, you were expecting me to open with these verses, but I didn't. Threw you a curveball there. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Then the day of Pentecost arrived. They were all gathered together in one place. So all the Jews were coming together out of obedience. They're going to come to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. It's interesting that word wind is there, because wind, if you look at, I think it's the Greek word, it's pneuma. So all you guys that like to use pneumatic tools, that's where it comes from. And the word spirit, its base word is pneuma. It's very interesting. And you also see here in this picture that God was doing something. It's miraculous what was happening here. Something was happening. It was this mighty rushing of the wind. I wonder if it sounded like a hurricane. And people are always running to train wrecks, right? So what happens is there's this sound. Mighty rushing wind, and all the people gather. Look at this. Rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Now we know why. To celebrate Pentecost. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. God was doing this incredible thing right now. He had said hundreds of years before, we're going to celebrate this feast, and it's called Pentecost. And the whole time, God knew what was going to happen to the ultimate fulfillment of Pentecost. So he gathered all his people together. And what we see here is this. I'm going to take you back a little bit to grasp what God was doing. Go all the way back to Genesis chapter 11. What's there? There was a hindrance to the gospel from this point on. People spoke in different languages, right? Prince Paul tells me there's all these different languages in Ghana alone. Well, the world was like that. They had different languages. Where did that come from? You go all the way back to Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. when God used another language miracle. Remember that? Men were raising up. They're saying, we're going to show how great we are. We're going to build this tower. And God said, you know what? We're going to confuse their languages. So God used a language miracle back then, but it was to cause division, to drive people away, to separate them. And so now what we see here is God's using another language miracle, but for the opposite effect. When we look at it, we remember that God divided the world with language barriers in Babel. Now he would gather people together with another language miracle. All these people gathering together, now the gospel would go throughout the world because every known language heard it, could communicate it. Isn't that incredible when you think about this? Just our God, it just, wow! He sets up hundreds of years ago, we're going to do this feast called Pentecost. And in one day, at the first Pentecost after Jesus raises from the dead, in probably, I don't know, maybe a half hour, they're gathering together, they're up in the upper room, and all of a sudden, this wind comes, the sound of a rushing wind. And just like that, God fills them with the Holy Spirit, and they speak in other languages. And it completely changed the opportunity for the gospel to go out throughout the world. Just like that, just that fast. What a great God. What a great God. Who knows what God could do today? He's still doing miracles. And we stand in awe of God as we think of this first Pentecost. And they're just hanging out, having lunch, talking about things, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God just falls on them. And God is about to do a great work in that moment. And they had no idea it was coming. Just like that. Babel resulted in disconnectedness and in individuality. This is my group. We all kind of agree together. We all speak the same language. We're over here. You guys stay over there. We don't want to be with you because we don't even know your language. So you go over there, and we'll go over here, and we'll all be happy. And then all of a sudden, on Pentecost, God unites people. Pentecost brought this reconnectedness somehow through people who were diverse. That's the incredible thing. He brings us reconnectedness to people despite their diversity. Take a look at God's word. Don't read yet. Don't read. I want you to sit. I want to give you some background here before we read Joel in particular, because the gospel is so countercultural. It goes against so many norms. Back in Joel's time, they had certain people were considered better than others. Men, women, adults, children, master, servant, old, young. Right? That's what they had. I mean, it's funny how some of those things are barriers are still there today. Old, young in particular. And what we see here is that 800 years before Pentecost, God speaks through Joel, and he's already talking about how this gospel is going to break down barriers and unite people who have very little in common. Take a look at what it says. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, your sons and your daughters. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your sons and your daughters. Not your sons and your daughters. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Even the male on the male and the female servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit. Hundreds of years before, he's saying, I'm going to destroy all the barriers. My Spirit is going to come upon all flesh. There will not be divisions. And look at, then we see in 1 Corinthians 12:12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. We're different. And that's part of the glory of the gospel, that we're so different, we're so diverse. Really, in this room, the only thing that really binds us together as common is our faith in Christ. We're so different in this room. And yet the gospel brings us together because we're one body, destroying all these things that would normally separate us. And it goes on, where there's one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. Wow! This gospel is incredible. It brings people together. It unites us. And then we see what many would consider the second Pentecost in the Word of God. Here's why. Because what happens is that the Jews were the ones who received the gift of the Spirit when we read in Acts chapter 2. It's poured out upon them. And then we see later in chapter 10, which we're about to read, the Gentiles receive the Holy Spirit as proof that they're truly believers in Jesus Christ. So some people would argue there's probably three, the Samaritans as well. But what we see here is Peter is talking to Cornelius. And Cornelius is a Gentile. And he is a believer, as they say, in Christ and his family. And so Peter is coming there and he's telling them the gospel. And then something happens. I love this too because, again, we see kind of God's humor. Because we want to put God in a box. We want to think, okay, God's going to do it like this. And so Peter is there preaching the gospel, and he's probably got something preconceived in his mind on how it's going to happen. And God just goes, boom, in a flash, and just changes it all for Peter. And they, okay, well, what are we going to do now? Look at this. While Peter was still saying these things, he hadn't finished preaching. The Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised, the Jews that were with Peter, okay, had come with Peter, were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. Are you kidding me? These guys got the same thing we did? They're amazed. They're going, oh my goodness. And again, if you go back and you study your history, the Jews, the Gentiles are dirty. They're second-class citizens. So now you got these church leaders with Peter saying, man, these guys got the same thing we did, same evidence, Holy Spirit. Look at this. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Now, this makes us uncomfortable, but what was the proof that the Gentiles received the same Holy Spirit as the Jews? It's tongues. That's what it was. Because they heard him speaking in tongues. I love this. Then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? It's just like, guys, we can argue all we want, but they have the same Holy Spirit as we have. Same happened the same way, came upon them. It was a miracle. It's a miracle what God was doing here. The Gentiles' tongues were undeniable, irrefutable evidence that the same Holy Spirit dwelt within the Gentiles as the Jews. And the Gentiles did not have to convert to Judaism for it to happen. Isn't that freeing? Isn't that freeing? That today we as Gentiles, you don't have to convert to Judaism in order to really be saved. Instead, the Spirit of God is poured out upon all flesh. And that's what this is a beautiful picture of. That the Gentiles who were not part of this nation were brought into the family. It's a miracle what God was doing here. It was so significant. What God was doing was he's saying, you know what, my church, my New Testament church is going to be multiracial. My church is going to be international. I'm going to destroy all the barriers that men set up between each other. I'm going to tear them apart because this is who I am. This is my church. I'm going to take all these social barriers that people put up. I have this education. You have this education. I have this income. You have this income. I have this. You have that. Blah, blah, blah. Free slave. Greek, Jew, whatever it is. I'm going to destroy them all. I'm going to wipe them all off. I'm going to say, you know what? We're one body. One body. And in the middle of that diversity, I'm going to bring unity. As I said, we don't have a lot in common with each other in this room. All churches are like that. You have your little group of people, kind of like Babel, where, you know, hey, we're here, and you're here, and you're here. But see, then God destroys it all, and he says, you know what? You're my body. You're my body. We're together as one because of Christ under his banner, because of the cross. We have unity, and there's no black, white, or whatever other color you want to put it, or no whatever barrier it is. We are one body in Christ. That's the part of the glory of the gospel, is the unity in spite of diversity. That is the community of the Holy Spirit, the church. What a great and glorious thing. What a God. Pentecost is also a wonderful beginning to the transforming work of the Holy Spirit by indwelling Christians. It's the start of that. Take a look again at God's Word. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. In other words, if you are a believer, the Holy Spirit dwells within you, period. There are no such thing as believers who do not have the Holy Spirit. That's wrong. If you do not have the Spirit, you are not a believer. If you are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit, period. And He doesn't come and go like a hotel room with a different resident. It's just like, oh, well, I wonder if the Holy Spirit's still living in me. If you are a believer, He remains in you forever. Okay? That's the way it works. Look at 2 Corinthians 13:5b. Do you not realize this about yourselves? I love that. That Jesus Christ is in you? Do you not realize this? That Christ is in you. You know, it's funny because when we have little kids, we always say, you know, pray to receive Jesus into your heart, right? Well, we have a triune God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, three in one. There's a unity there. And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we can say Jesus dwells within us. He's saying, don't you get this, guys? Can you wrap your mind around this? That Jesus lives within you. Now, as I always say, that doesn't make us God. That doesn't make us God. We are the dwelling place of the Lord. And He comes to fill us for a purpose. He dwells within all believers. Look at this, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. How can we say that? First of all, the all things is the will of God. I can do all of the will of God. We're going to talk about that later as we go through the Lord's Prayer and talk about, you know, when we look at praying specifically. But I can do all of the will of God. Why? Why is that possible? Because He dwells within me. It's not about my strength. I am weak, He is strong. I am unwise, He is wise. So what happens is He dwells within me. And because of that truth, because of that joy, then what happens is this. I can walk in the will of God because He is the one who empowers me. He's the one who does it through me. So I can rest in that. And all those things that the Word of God promises that are a picture of our beautiful Savior Jesus, like Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All those things are possible. Why? Because the Spirit of God dwells within you. And all those sections of Scripture that talk about the greatness of Christ and the reason, just another one of many reasons why we love Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a picture of what love is a picture of Christ. He is patient. He is kind. That's our Jesus. And we delight in Him. We say, man, that's who I want to be. That's my hero. That's who I want to be like. I want to become more like Christ. He's my joy. And so what happens is that these things are possible because the Spirit of God, God in His wisdom said, you know what, you cannot do it, so I'm going to give you my Spirit. He'll dwell within you. And He will transform you. He is the one who causes that sanctification, where we can now be holy, walk in holiness, where we don't have to sin. We don't have to, because the Spirit of God dwells with us. Just wrapping our minds around that is incredible. The Creator of the world spoke everything that is here out of nothing. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells within you if you're a believer today. Just wow. I can't even, it words cannot express. Just the thought of that. Wow. He dwells within me. So now, how can I not walk in victory? Not because of who I am, but because of who Christ is. He dwells within me. So I can have victory in these areas. I can have joy in my life. I do not have to live powerless without hope that sin will always, this particular sin in my life will always rule and reign over me. Or walk in fear constantly. But instead, listen, God, those things I don't have to live with anymore because of who you are. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within me. And He comes to transform me into the image of Jesus, to be like Christ. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God, I believe these things. I believe them. God, by your grace and your mercy, would you help me walk in them? Overwhelm me with your power, God. When was the last time you prayed that? Overwhelm me with your power, God. I just struggle with this so much. Overwhelm me, God. That's the living God who dwells within all believers. Those who have said, I am separated from you, God. I cannot earn heaven. My sin is separated from me from you. God, the only solution to that is separation from you. And then God sent His Son, Jesus, lived the perfect life, something we could never do. He lived it for us, for all who would believe. And then He went to the cross, and for those who would come to know Jesus by God's grace, through faith in Jesus, their sin was punished. But it was punished, that punishment was taken out on Jesus. And so all who would believe, their sins were not overlooked. They were paid for by Christ. And those who have crossed that line of faith by God's grace and mercy, the moment we cross that line of faith, the Spirit of God dwells within us. That is awesome. That is awesome. How can we not walk in victory? How can we not be more than conquerors? You know, all those verses that pile up like that, that we say are for someone else, not for me? Really? Same Holy Spirit lives within me and lives within you. Lives within the guy who you think is the most holy guy. He's a sinner too, puts his pants on one leg at a time. Or somebody, another weak believer. The same Holy Spirit dwells within them all. Isn't that great news? And He came, in part, to transform us into the image of Christ. But He came not just for us to experience blessings. He also came, and I'm going to use Ryan's term, for gospel spreading, for a gospel spreading, God glorifying, kingdom building purpose. It's not just about us. He came to empower believers to participate in the global harvest. It's not just about us. Take a look again at God's Word. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus leaving, explaining why the Holy Spirit would come. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. That's part of it. You will be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, La Crescent, wherever we live, and in all Judea, Coulee region, and in Samaria, the United States, and to the end of the earth. He says, you're going to be a part of that. That's part of the reason I'm giving you my Spirit. Because you're going to be my witnesses. And it goes on in Acts chapter 2, verses 1, 4, and 40. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What was the result of that? The result is in verse 40. Those who received the word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And it didn't end there. Didn't end there. Because the same Spirit that filled them dwells in every believer. with part of the purpose being to be a witness. And God is not done doing miracles. He is not done saving the lost. And he is, in his wisdom, which kind of confounds me sometimes, I have to be honest with this one. I mean, you could do another Pentecost thing, God. You could do it every day, right? Instead, you use broken people like me to preach this beautiful, glorious treasure, this pearl, the gospel. How messed up is that, God? And yet he says, you know what? It's the way I choose to do it, Dan. Because that gives me more glory than if I just did it myself. Just did it like Pentecost every time. Although he's the one who calls everyone. But he uses people to bring that message. What a God. What a Savior. And look at this, Luke 6:45b. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, it's about finding our joy in Jesus. It's that first part where the Spirit of God transforms us into the image of Christ. And we treasure him more. We just love him. We see how great he is. All his attributes. And, oh, man, that's who I want to be. He's my hero. I want to be like him. God, change me. I want to, you know, that kindness and that peace. You know, all those things that describe who Jesus is, that's what I want. And then as we fall in love with Jesus, then what happens is this. Out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth will speak. And when it speaks, God anoints those words. You see, I'm going to go back. I'm going to take you back a little bit. Because there's something important here when it comes to this harvest that God is doing. Remember when I said first fruits celebrated the first harvest? It was kind of like the beginning of the harvest. And they'd take their best crop and they'd bring it to the Lord. And it was that they basically had different crops that they harvested. Okay, and then there were certain seasons where they would celebrate that harvest, and the seasons had different meanings. The festivals had different meanings. So first fruits was that very first harvest, saying we're trusting God that you are going to take care of us, and that's the day that Jesus rose from the dead. They were celebrating that feast. He was the first fruits of many to come, as we read in 1 Corinthians. Well, Pentecost came, and it was kind of the middle feast. Okay. It was a middle feast, and it celebrated again that God had fulfilled his promises that he made, that they were celebrating in the first fruits, that you would take care of us, God, you would provide for us. And we see that great provision in the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. There's a third feast. It's the final feast of the festivals, the harvest festivals. It's called the Feast of Tabernacles. And that feast celebrates this. The end of the harvest. You know how that's going to be fulfilled? When Jesus comes through the clouds. When he comes a second time. The harvest is done. It's finished. You see the significance of this? We at La Crescent Free want to be a part of that. That's why part of what we believe in is our values. We will strategically share the gospel with our local, regional, and global neighbors. We're a part of that harvest. You and I are a part of that harvest. It's not just the church. It's the individuals. And God has filled us with his Spirit in part that we would take this message of the glory of the gospel, the beauty of it, and that we would share it with those around us. That's part of why he came, why he indwells us, that we would be his witnesses. And so as we look at this feast, we realize, you know what, God? This is part of why. Spirit indwells each of us. He comes to empower us to share the gospel. Just as on that first Pentecost, after Christ's resurrection, the Holy Spirit came and filled the disciples with power to proclaim the gospel. He calls us to do the very same thing. He calls us to do the very same thing. Even with our broken, messed up words and our imperfections in sharing the gospel, it's not about us. It's about God doing something through our weak, frail attempts. That's God, because he gets the glory. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to do something very dangerous. I want to go back a month, and I asked you to do something a month ago, and it was this. I asked you to increase your prayer by 10 minutes per day, that during this prayer series, I would be led by the Spirit, and that God would do a work in this church with regards to prayer. Give us a new burden for prayer, a new passion for prayer. Now I'm going to ask you to pray something specifically. And it's right out of the Word of God. So in that 10 minutes, I'm going to ask you to maybe put this verse right there. And I'm going to ask you to pray it for you as an individual, but us as a body of Christ. And here it is. It's in Acts chapter 4. This was after two of the disciples were released. They were taken into prison for preaching the gospel, and they basically said, stop sharing the gospel. And then they were released. And so they gathered together with the brothers and sisters. It's a great prayer. You know, they start out as they gather together. They're all rejoicing. You know, the early church prayed so differently than we do today. They didn't pray for their own comfort. And so what happened was, is they were praying, and they started, oh, you're sovereign, God, you're sovereign over all things. And then they get to this part. This is what I'm asking you to pray. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal. And signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute. Weren't they filled earlier? Yes. Yes. In Acts chapter 2. Same guys. So what happened? Did the Holy Spirit leak out and they needed refilling like a gas tank? I mean, sometimes we view it like that. You know, it's just like, oh no, the Holy Spirit leaked out. I better go ask him for more. You know, what it is we see God pouring out his Spirit again and again upon his people. Do you pray for that? Because that's what happened here. And the Holy Spirit, they filled them again. Look at this. All were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. That is a dangerous prayer. And I'm asking us as a body to pray that prayer for ourselves and for this body. God, pour out your Spirit upon us. Fill us afresh today. You know all that this day has. I need you. So fill me today, God, with your Spirit. Pour it out upon me. Pour yourself out upon me, God. Fill me. God, give me boldness. I'm so afraid. God, overwhelm me. Fill me, God. I want to walk in your Spirit today. I want to be holy. I need you, God. Pour out your Spirit upon me. Cause me to walk in a way that brings you honor and glory. So as this world sees me, they go, how can you be happy in this situation? How can you have joy? That's Jesus. You see how that glorifies him? So pray this prayer for yourself and this body. God, do this miracle. Pentecost ushered in the church as this diverse yet united community of the Holy Spirit. This beautiful community that we're in right now in this room. That Pentecost was also the beginning of the transforming, indwelling work of the Holy Spirit in all believers. And it was also a call and an empowering for both the individual Christian and the church as a whole to participate in the great harvest. That's what happened on the first Pentecost after Jesus' resurrection. He came to live in us, and he came to live through us. That's the first Pentecost. Amen. So by God's grace, may we delight in who he is. May we continue to pursue by the power of the Spirit within us holiness and watch as God does miracles. As we may, you know, some of us, we got to be honest. You know, we say, I don't know if I believe in miracles. Maybe one of the great miracles God would do is that you struggle with sharing the gospel and you just, God ignites you and you have opportunities to share the gospel. Wouldn't that be a miracle in your life? You just go, yeah, that's what I want, God. Let's ask him for big things. He's a big God. Amen? And he dwells within all believers. What a great God. Let's pray. Lord, We stand in awe of you today. I ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon us. God, that we would delight in you in a way that we have not before, maybe. It's part of that outpouring. That you would transform us into the image of Jesus. God, that you would shift our desires for the things of this world to you. God, that you would save the lost if there's any in the sound of my voice. God, would you do these things as you pour out your Spirit, glorify your name in us. God, we rejoice in you. We thank you. And we ask you now, even in this time, to teach us how to worship you. So God, we love you. We love you, Jesus. Cause us to pursue you so that we might find our joy in you. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and continue to worship. Amen.